This morning's message is, He will guide you. He will guide you.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, we thank You today for all that You have done for us. And Lord, today, this message, I pray that You would speak through me and that You would minister Your Word to us today in a powerful way. And Lord, that we would go out of this place again filled with Your Holy Spirit, filled with Your Word, filled with a hope and filled with a joy of who You are to reach our world for Christ. And I'll thank You for that. In Jesus' name, God's people say amen. Amen. I have several scriptures that I want to go with this morning as we dig into the Word of God. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 48, as we start this morning. Psalm chapter 48, verse 10. And how many of you love the Psalms? How many of you love the rest of the Word of God? The psalmist here says this, "According to thy name, O God, so is thy praise unto the ends of the earth. Thy right hand is full of righteousness." You ever think about that? If his right hand is filled with righteousness, what's in his left hand? I always think about that because how many lefties do we have in the house? Come on, really? I am special breed. Amen. That's what my mom always said. You're a special kid, Jerry. I don't know how she meant that, right, Rick? Yeah. "So is thy praise to the ends of the earth, thy right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark you well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God, our God, forever and ever, He will be our guide even unto death." Come on, somebody shout. How weak was that? Somebody shout. Amen. Remember the shouting ministry? It's okay to shout in church, as long as you're shouting praises. Now, it's the worst thing in the world that I've ever been in a church meeting, a board meeting, where there's shouting going on at one another. Shame on that church. It's not the love of God there, I can tell you this. "For this is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58, verse 9. "Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speak vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in security, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters shall fail not." How many of you like that one? John chapter 16. I've got several scriptures here that were planting a foundation here. John chapter 16. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. One more scripture, and most of you should have this one memorized. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Anybody know where we're going with that? Proverbs chapter 3, in case you don't know it. Trust in the Lord. With what? All of your heart. Don't lean under your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Out of all these scriptures, how many of you have seen a recurring theme? How many of you have picked it out? Rick, you picked it out because you wrote it down here, okay?
I can read too.
Yeah. And he can read. Sorry, brother. The common thread that goes throughout all of these scriptures is about trusting His guidance. So this morning's message is, He will guide you. He will guide you. Can we say that together? He will guide you. Because this is one of the things that today many believers still struggle with, not letting go of the reins. They want to guide. Is anybody in here like that? Nobody's raising their hands. Oh, I got one in the back. We got another one over here. We struggle with letting go of the reins, because we have to be in charge. Let me ask you it again. Anybody in this place would raise your hand? Oh, we got another one there. Got another one. So the Lord wasn't wrong here today, was He? And I got to tell you that was me a few years ago. Well, it had to be me doing the driving. How many of you have ever had this thought, well, if you want something done right, now the hands are flying up in the air. Because you guys were saying, that doesn't apply to me. You got to do it yourself. I want it done right. A lot of us were raised that way. We got it from our parents. They got it from their parents. And then we just kind of pick it up and run with it. And we get this sort of attitude in life that I've got to be in control. You know, there's a lot of people that do not like flying in an airplane. You know why? It's because they're not in control. They have no control over what happens to that airplane. So you have people that will say, I will never ride in an airplane. She's still shaking her head. Okay? But you know, when it comes down to it, a lot of it is, I'm not in control. And there are a lot of us and a lot of personalities that I do not want to ride with someone else. I want to be the driver. Now it's getting a little quiet. You know, this all has to do with trust. And we carry this on throughout our life, even when it comes to trusting God. Because the things that are happening in our lives, we want to have a handle on. And we want to say, God, this is my life. But when we look at all of these scriptures, what are they pointing to? Trust in myself with all of my heart. Is that what it says? And we all like to quote that verse. But we're not doing it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. Do you know what that means? Does anybody have a clue what that means? Oh, some people say, well, that just means that I say He's God. No! Acknowledging Him means that I submit myself to His authority. I acknowledge Him as Lord. You know, and for several years now, I've been telling you, wake up in the morning, raise your hands and say, here I am, Lord. Use me. Well, recently the Lord began to really put this upon my heart to wake up in the morning and acknowledge Him as Almighty God. It is not about me anymore, Lord. It's about You. Well, I'm not giving up my life. It's my life, really. Who gives you breath? If God didn't want you to be alive right now, you would die right now. The breath that He has given you, the heartbeat that He has given you, belongs to Him. So first of all, we have to let go of the reins. And some of us quiver at that. But according to God's Word, we have to let go of the wheel. How many of you have ever seen a bumper sticker that said, God is my co-pilot? That is about as unscriptural as you can get. God is my co-pilot. Which is basically saying, I'm in control behind the wheel. And God just helps me. You know, I was raised in Christianity back, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, and bumper stickers were big, you know. All those stickers, you know, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. God's my co-pilot. And I'm a big words person. Laura can tell you, you know, songs that are being sung, anything that's on commercials, I am tuned into listening to what they are saying. And then I line it up to the Word of God and say, that is not correct. And Laura says, just watch the commercial. Yeah? Okay? Or songs that are out there. Okay? I just can't do that. I want to listen. And God has called who to be in charge? Himself. Acknowledging Him. James chapter 4. We're going to go there. The book of James. Right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 4. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You know, this is all a part of acknowledging Him as Lord, submitting yourselves to God, drawing near to God, humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. How many of you have ever used the words Almighty God? I mean, we pray that. We pray that, you know. Sometimes when we want to be real spiritual, we say, Almighty God, we bless you. Is He Almighty in your life? Or are you holding back some of it? Say, now this part belongs to me, God. He wants you to submit yourself to Him in all of His authority and let Him take control of your life. And worrying is a part of us having control. Did you know that? Because we're not trusting God if we're worrying. You can't do both at the same time. So we have to let go of these reins that we're holding on to so tight and saying, I'm driving this thing. And trust someone else. Almighty God. And some of you say, okay, well, I'll trust God, but I'm not trusting someone else to drive then. You know, God uses learning to trust by trusting others. How else are we going to learn? And we learn to trust God. Interesting enough here. We have to learn not to be in control. We don't need to be in control. Right? Some people think they need to be in control. Well, if we think that our way is best, how many of you think that? You're like, this is a trick question. I know he's trying to get me. I had one hand go up. Now, I think there's more. Can I ask one more time? How many of you think your way is best? A couple more brave souls. Patty, you're laughing up here, but that's giving you away. Yeah, I'm kidding. When we really think our way is best, that's another way of controlling a situation. You know, for many, many years, I actually thought my way was best. And I can tell you this, that there are other ways that are just as good that I've learned from others over the years. My wife helped me to learn that first of all. You know, because I would tell her something and I would say, this is the best way to do it. And she says, you mean that's your way? And I said, wait a minute. And I had to really think about that. And then, of course, others along the way. And I have learned that my way is not the best way. And I can tell you, by thinking that way, it'll get you in trouble. Eventually, it'll get you in trouble. I want you to turn back to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Numbers, chapter 16. This is about an individual that thought his way was the best way. And we're going to see what happened to him. Numbers, chapter 16, verse 1. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. Why didn't Moses just say Korah? But he had to do that so I could read all those names, John. You ready? And Korah took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy. Every one of them is holy, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Does everybody understand this picture? Here's Moses. leads the people out of Israel, hits the water, the water separates in the Red Sea, mighty miracles happening, water coming out of a rock through this man, and yet Korah stands up and says, I got a better way. I know better than you, Moses. My way is better. Who do you think you are? In other words, he stood in the face of God and said, who do you think you are putting this man in charge? How many of you think that's dangerous ground right there? It's pretty dangerous ground. So we're going to pick up the story here in verse 31. Moses talks to God about this, and in verse 31, and it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed Korah and all of his family and their houses and all the men that had pertained to Korah and their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Whose way was better? Whose way was better? God's way or Korah's way? She knows the answer. And I'm telling you today, when you think your way is better than God's, you better think again. And we need to begin to change our attitudes that our way is the best way. Because that also keeps us from submitting ourselves to God and to His authority, folks. So, yeah, first of all, we got to let go of the reins. Second of all, it doesn't always have to be our way. Because we get so prideful in that. It's my way or the highway. We do it my way around here. What an attitude. What a prideful attitude, really, at that. Because you're assuming that your way is the only way. Isaiah chapter 55 speaks about this. Should have had you hold your place right there. Isaiah 55, and Pastor Aaron talked about this. He touched on this a few weeks ago. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Because you know what? God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. And though you may never say it to someone because you just don't want to be caught saying, my way is better than your way, you may be thinking it, right? You may be thinking it. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my way, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So number two, it doesn't have to be our way. Number three, learn to put trust in Almighty God, He will not disappoint you. So submit, acknowledge Him, right? Realize it doesn't have to be your way. And then lastly, learn to put your trust in Him. Sometimes we struggle with trust. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Because sometimes a lot of us have been burned over the years. And we find it very hard to trust. The Hebrew word here is batok. And when he says trust in the Lord, it's batok. it means to be confident, to be secure, to be bold, and to be careless. That doesn't mean the sense that you think, just to be careless. It means casting all of your cares upon Him. And absolutely trusting Him. When I get in an airplane, and I'm not piloting that airplane, when I get in that airplane, and I sit down in that seat, I am totally relaxed. And even when the turbulence begins to hit, and the airplane's doing this, boom, 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 I'm totally relaxed. You know why? Do I trust the pilot? I trust Almighty God. And one time someone said to me, you know what, I don't like to fly. I don't want to fly. I'm going to go in this airplane. And he said, are you okay? Do you feel okay about this flight, Pastor? And I said, I'm fine. He said, well, why are you fine? And I said, because I know God has called me to do a job where I'm going, and He's called me to do a job when I get back. And He hasn't told me yet my time is over. So I'm very confident that I'm going to get there, I'm going to get back. And He said to me, well, then if you're confident, then I'll be confident. Because who is our trust in? It's in God. I know my foot shall not be moved, and I am not going anywhere until God says it's time to go. And that's complete confidence in Him and resting in Him and trusting in Him. Now, this message is about God guiding us. So I sidestepped a little bit about trusting Him, but I want to talk about three ways that God guides us. Because we know that His Word is very clear that He will guide us. We're trusting Him. He will guide us three ways. Number one, He guides us by His Word. And we've been talking a lot about this in the past few weeks, haven't we? About trusting His Word. And again, I've had you here in Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to continue on from where I left off at in verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so in the same way shall my word be. See how God waters the earth and it brings forth plant and everything grows? God said, in the same way will my word be that goes out of my mouth. It will not return void unto me, but it will accomplish everything that I sent it to do. And it's going to prosper in that thing that I sent it to do. I love this because God is giving us what His Word says. And I'm telling you that when God gives us His Word, can we trust Him? His Word will lead us. So practically, I believe in practical Christianity. And I believe in living out the Word of God. This Bible is not just here for some holy spiritual thing that for us to put it on the shelf and leave it there. Say, that's my Bible. But to hide it in our hearts. His Word will speak to us. When we are in life situations and we need guidance, His Word will speak to us. We can get guidance from this, from whatever life situations come our way. We can get guidance from that. God speaks about many, many things to us today in His Word. Now, I guess it is possible, and it has happened in the past, where we're just having a life situation, and then we say, okay, God, speak to me. And sometimes God has done that in particular situations for certain individuals. But a lot of times when people say, God, speak to me, open that Bible and it says, put a knife to thy throat. No, that's not what I want to read. Let me try it again. Huh? No, I don't like that one either. No, no, and no again. Listen. One of Kathy's favorite scriptures is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show yourself approved. A workman that does not need to be ashamed, doing this all the time. But actually know what it says. Study that so you know what it says. So that when you need guidance, you know where to go. And you know what God's Word is saying about it. Amen? Amen. Number two. How God will guide us. And I like this. By godly counsel. God will guide us by godly counsel of others. Proverbs chapter 11. If you turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now let me explain to you what God is talking about here. Oftentimes God uses others to speak into our lives. He's like, quit looking at me, right? God will use others to speak into our lives. Because there are some times when we still looking at God's Word and we may not be exactly convinced, or there is a scripture that doesn't speak to it. And so what God is looking for us to do, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And it's very important that we reach out to godly people. Don't go to ungodly people and say, you know, I got a situation in my life, what do you think? Because they're going to tell you what they think if you ask them. But go to godly individuals, godly counselors, people that are known for their faithfulness, people that are known that they love God with all of their heart. Go to them that have godly counsel and get some counsel and some wisdom from them. And again, this is a matter of sometimes we want to do what we want to do, and we just don't go to anybody and ask because we say we want to do this. But there is safety in counsel. And again, don't go to the ungodly, because over in chapter 12, you're going to see this particular thing in verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkens unto counsel is wise. So don't go to ungodly people when you're seeking counsel in which direction God will use godly people to help lead you in the right way. Everybody understand that? There's safety there. I want to give you an example of the two, between wise and not wise. 1 Kings chapter 12. And God is so faithful He gives us all these examples in His Word. 1 Kings chapter 12. This is a king by the name of Rehoboam. We're going to start in verse 6 now. There was a situation that came up, and Rehoboam needed to know which direction to go. What should I do? Verse 6, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? All right, so he goes to the older counselors, the ones that had been with his father. How many of you know that Solomon was wise? God gave Solomon wisdom, and God gave his counselors wisdom. And they spoke unto him, saying, if you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. And he said to them, what counsel do you give me to answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter. And the young men that were grown up with him spoke this unto him, saying, thou shalt speak unto this people, and spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. And my father has chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, and the king answered, and whose counsel did he take? He took the young men's counsel. I'm not going to read the rest of this, but how many of you think that went well for him? That did not go well for him. Because his buddies, he took the counsel of his buddies. How many of us take the counsel of our buddies instead of taking the counsel of the wise? And listen to the counsel of the wise. Because the counsel of the wise will lead you in the direction that is good. God will use godly counsel to help us. When it comes to decisions, please take the counsel of God's Word and go to godly counselors. There's wisdom there. The last thing that the Lord will give us guidance practically is the leading of the Holy Spirit. As we know this, but that Holy Spirit shall be given unto us, Jesus said, to do what? To lead us and to guide us into all spiritual truth. To hear from the Holy Spirit of God. Just make sure it's the Holy Spirit of God. Because again, there's many times that we say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. But if the Holy Spirit did speak to you, that should bear witness to someone else that is godly. To bring that to them. Say, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Because there's often times when people will tell me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And tell me what they're going to do, and I am getting absolutely no witness to that. And then they may say, well, Pastor, you're just not hearing from God. It's kind of like us going to our parents and we ask them what their opinion is, and they say, I don't think that's a good idea. You just don't want me to be happy. You just don't want me to have any fun. No. I'm concerned about your future. future. I'm concerned about what's coming for you if you do that. And oftentimes, I tell you, it hurts me when they just go on and do it. Because see, the thing is, I can't make anybody do anything. That's not my job. I can give counsel. And my heart has always been to give counsel from the Word of God. I don't care what I think. I want to know what the Word of God says and what the Spirit of God is saying. And so I believe that there should be confirmations. Confirmations of what it is that you're desiring to do. That should bear witness with other godly people. Because they help you to stay out of trouble. How do I know this? Because young Jerry thought he heard from God a lot. And just proceeded into it. And guess what? It didn't end up very well. Oftentimes I got counsel and I said, you don't know what you're talking about. I know better than you do. And it got me in a lot of trouble. It really did. So I really encourage all of our people and young people especially, listen to the counsel of godly people. And listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks. You know what? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. But if it truly is the voice of God, I believe that it bears witness with others. And how many of you remember that story about Hezekiah? And he was praying and the prophet came to him and said, you're going to die, man. Get your house in order. And he sincerely went to prayer. I mean, poured out his heart to God and said, you know, God, remember me, how I truly have tried to bring your people into righteousness. And then the Lord speaks to the prophet to come back and gives a confirmation to him about what? You're going to live another 15 years. God's heard your heart. God's heard your prayers. There was a confirmation that came back again that God had heard him and he was on the right path. He's going to live another 15 years. And though there isn't a particular scripture, say, Pastor, prove that you need to have confirmation. I see it in the whole counsel of God that it's a great idea to have counsel. There's wisdom in that. So that we don't make big mistakes. Is everybody hearing what God is? What do the young people say? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Is that what it is, Noah? Yep. Let's use some wisdom here. Because God will guide us. And He uses these directions to do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father, I have brought what You have put upon my heart today. And I thank You so much. Lord, what You've shown me through my lifetime, and I thank You for the years that have gone by that I could now see that, Lord, that I made many, many missteps. But I thank You for Your grace in the meantime. And I pray, God, that You would help us to hear You clearly and to trust You, Lord, with our lives. Truly trust You and let go of the reins. And believe You, Lord. Believe Your word. And I thank You for that presence here today in the house of God. In the name of Jesus. Now I want to pray for those of you here now that would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need that. I need to let go of the reins. Is there anybody in this place who raise your hand and say, that's me. I need to let it go and trust You. These hands that have gone up right now, Father, I thank you that you are moving in their lives and you're opening the doors right now of their understanding. And Lord, that you are bringing light into that right now, and that, Lord, every time that they come up against a situation to say, I am going to move in my direction, that there would be a stop from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, Lord, would speak to them and say, trust me. Let me take over. And I thank you, Lord, for that right now. I thank you for hearing us and answering us in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.